I have no confidence in prayer. What can I do to regain it? The main way that God deepens, strengthens, and awakens confidence in prayer is not answer prayer. It's by the word of the living God. When God says, I hear you, we should believe him. So, when my confidence in prayer languishes and I feel like, well, I spend 10, 15 more minutes here, my strategy for rebuilding my confidence is not to catalog all the answers. And one of the reasons is that they're mostly, I think probably be fair to say, they're all ambiguous. Even the biblical prayers. You can always, if you're skeptical enough, you can always say it would have happened anyway. Always. It can be absolutely stunning. You're praying over this tumor and it shrinks under your hand. Well, it was just kind of it was ready to do that anyway. You cannot get confidence if there's a skeptical voice inside of you constantly saying, answers don't do it because they're all ambiguous. So if you base your confidence on answers and you have a heart that is always wondering, you'll never have confidence. So I think I have that heart. I'm a really skeptical guy. And I hear a story about some amazing healing. My first thought is, got some doctor records? That's the way I'm wired. So if I'm going to keep praying and believe in prayer, it's going to be this. It's going to be Jesus getting in my face and saying, which he does, he did, and he does, which of you who has a son who asked him for a loaf of bread would give him a stone? Or if he asks for if he asks for a fish, would give him a scorpion or a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, will not your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Or as it says in Luke, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Now that's Jesus getting in this face, my face, and saying, you couldn't believe me. I'm telling you that if you know how to give your child something good, your Father does it too. So I think at that point, you pursue that a little further and you say, okay, I trust you, Jesus. I believe you. And then you let your heart go on this Father thing. And you just go to other texts in the Bible where he's called your Father. And you're therefore his heir. And he loves his children. He will always do good for his children. And he wants his children to ask him for things. And so if you go to enough passages of Scripture where God is telling you how inclined he is to your prayer, you either are going to throw the Bible out or you're going to start growing in confidence. Hears me. God hears me. I'll give you an example now of how, just from this morning, let me see if I can reconstruct this morning's devotions. I was praying this morning for my children and for myself, Ephesians 3:14, where it says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you to be strengthened through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, might have power to comprehend the love of Christ, what is the height and depth and length and breadth and to know the love of Christ. And I stopped. I have prayed that for myself hundreds of times. Hundreds. And it hit me. I've been praying this prayer for 29 years at this church, that God would grant me to know the height and depth and length and breadth, the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And you know what came into my mind? That's the reason you have seen what you have seen about the nature of the love of God being the glorification of Himself in people's lives. My way of talking about the love of God today is that you are loved not when God makes much of you, but when He, at great cost to Himself, gives you the inclination to make much of Him and the joy of making much of Him. I do not believe I would have seen that if I had not prayed that prayer 100 times. So now, of course, the skeptic would say, I think you would have thought of that even if you hadn't prayed that prayer. I think you would have seen that in the Bible, and you would have taught it even though you hadn't prayed that prayer. To which I would say, I guess that's what you're going to believe. But this morning, at the bottom of my soul, it seemed to me God was saying, the reason you see what you see is because you've asked to see it 100 times. I've heard you. It's no accident that you've seen John 11, verses 1 to 6, in relation to John 17, 1 to 5, and 24, the way you do. I don't give everybody that. I give it to you. I give it to 100 others, thousands of others. I give it to people who want it so bad. They pray Ephesians 3, 14 to 19 over and over and over and over. And I store it up in a bottle. And then one day, in a conversation with somebody or while you're studying the Bible, I pour it out. And you see what you would not have seen. That's the way it works for me. So I get subjective confirmations like that. Can't prove them. Can't prove them. If you're mathematically oriented, demanding proof, you won't ever get it. But if you're desperate to have help, God will give you the help, and He will show you along the way from time to time, I gave you that help. The only reason you're a believer still is that I gave you that help.